Afternoon Theater. And on the Seventh Day, by Aubrey Woods, with Carlton Hobbs as the Reverend George Minter. And on the Seventh Day,
there you are, George. That'll stop you gallivanting around the parish for a few weeks. Probably itch quite a deal now the hospital's put the plaster on, but at least it'll keep you quiet.
Thank you, Arthur.
Don't mention it. I'd do the same for any of my patients, reverend or not. Where's Edith?
Downstairs, getting a cup of coffee, I think. You'll stay, of course.
I don't see why not. Now then.
Now then what?
How did it happen?
What?
You know perfectly well what. How did you come to be sitting in the middle of Top Meadow last night with a broken leg singing hymns at the top of your voice?
I fell.
I know you fell, but what were you doing up there in the first place?
I was admiring the view. Then I slipped rather awkwardly, and there I was. So I sang Rock of Ages to attract attention. Perfectly simple.
You know, if you weren't a man of the cloth, I doubt your word. As it is, I still don't believe you.
Well, that's how it happened. Oh, it's itching.
I told you it would.
What can I do about it?
Nothing. It's a judgment on you for not telling your doctor the truth.
But I have told you the truth.
I don't know how you can get into that pulpit every Sunday with the weight of all those lies on your conscience. However, that's between you and your maker, isn't it? Ah, Edith.
I brought you both up some coffee. There's a dash of rum in yours, Arthur, to keep out the cold.
Thank you.
Well, what about me? I'm the one who was sitting in the snow for hours.
It was your own fault. Is it being difficult, Arthur?
No more than usual.
Oh, dear. This parcel arrived for you from Marshall's, George, and Major Dayton phoned to ask how you were. And Hezekiah said he'd be round as usual this morning, and was there anything he could do?
Aren't people kind?
And Miss Clayton has brought round a dozen eggs for you.
Oh, now, I think that shows a truly Christian spirit.
Christian spirit be damned. She's a busybody, that's all. Seething mass of gossip, this village.
I say, you did put rum in this coffee, Edith.
Of course I did.
Oh, bless you.
Who's going to preach the Christmas sermons now you're out of the running?
Oh, I'll be all right by Christmas.
Oh, if you think that leg's going to mend in 6 days, you've got more faith in medicine than I have. Well, thanks for the coffee, Edith.
You're welcome.
What do I do if this itching gets worse?
Have another of those rum coffees. That'll do you as much good as anything I can suggest. I'll see myself out, Edith. Take care of yourself, George. Can't afford to lose you, you know.
Oh, thank you, Arthur. How pleasant it is to have friends.
Yes. Now, isn't it about time you told me what happened last night?
Well, it's so stupid. I mean, I left the Major's place. Oh, we've completed the arrangements for the Christmas Eve carol services, by the way. Although how Christopher's going to cope on his own, I really can't imagine. He's a splendid curate, of course, but...
Never mind that, George. What happened?
Oh. Well, you know that hill that goes down from the manor house gates to the churchyard?
Yes.
The school children have made a slide there. It looked so lovely in the moonlight, I thought, well, as there wasn't anybody around, I'd try it.
Oh, really, George? Will you never grow up?
Probably not. Oh, this plaster's itching like purgatory.
Well, you open your parcel.
Yeah. Oh, really?
What is it?
Marshall's. They sent the wrong book. Look at that.
Oh, dear. What was it supposed to be?
Well, you remember the Bible we saw in there when we were early for the Operatic Society's Mikado?
Yes, but I thought you said it was too expensive.
Yes, I did. But then I thought it over and, well, I was tempted and I fell. Oh, well, I'd better try and telephone them.
I've plugged the phone in by the bed for you.
May I come in?
Well, of course, Christopher. Do you want a coffee?
If I may, Mrs. Winter. I've just had half an hour of old Mrs. Ferguson, so I feel in need of a little sustenance.
I'll give you a call when it's ready.
Thank you.
Throw that wrapping paper off the chair and sit yourself down, Christopher.
All right. Oh, is this needed?
What is it?
Looks like a list of telephone numbers.
Oh, give it here. No, nothing to do with me. I'll ask Mrs. Minter if she knows anything about it.
How are you feeling now, sir?
Oh, in myself very well. This thing feels as if I've got my foot in an ant's nest, of course, but though I fell, I am not utterly cast down.
Psalms?
Correct. By the way, what's the latest hello, Mrs. Ferguson?
She says she saw Beelzebub in the church tower.
How did she manage that?
Apparently she was going to bed on... Where are we now? Friday?
Yes.
This would have been Tuesday. And she happened to glance across towards the church and saw a light in the tower and the unmistakable shadow of Beelzebub.
If she saw him on Tuesday, why didn't she call us on Wednesday? Why leave it till today?
Well, now, this is odd. I think the old biddy only wants company as a rule, and she thinks the forces of darkness will bring us running. But this time, I think she convinced herself. In any case, the poor old thing sat there all last evening, and finally saw him again at midnight, waving his arms about like Billy-O. And then the light in the tower went out, and she went to bed. This morning, she phoned Mrs. Minter, and Mrs. Minter put her on to me. She says she thinks we should have the church exercise.
If she thinks I can cope with an exorcism on top of all those extra services and the carols and the choir and Morgan Hooper, well, she's got another think coming.
Surely the trouble over Morgan Hooper's died down.
Not a bit of it. Anyone would think I'd invited one of old Mrs. Ferguson's demons to read the Christmas Eve lessons instead of our perfectly respectable MP.
Mm. Oh, Hezekiah's downstairs. Wants to know if you want to see him.
Yes, I do. Have you noticed whether he's mended the lectern?
Well, he hadn't yesterday. When I mentioned it, he sort of shied away. Do you think we ought to get someone else?
No. It's his job. He'd be mortally offended if we called in an outsider. No, it's just that he doesn't approve of Morgan Hooper.
But what's Morgan Hooper got?
Shh. Here he is. Come in, Hezekiah.
Morning, Vicar.
Morning.
Morning, Reverend.
Morning, Sexton.
I'm truly sorry to see you laid low, Vicar. But that were treacherous last evening, what with the ice and all. I said to Fred Burgess, mark my words, I said someone will come a tidy cropper afore the night's out, what with all that and all. Never thought it might be you, though, Vicar. Neither of us. Never crossed our minds.
Nor mine, Hezekiah. Now, to business. Have you mended the lectern?
No.
Ah.
I don't have no shame telling you, Vicar. No, you neither, Reverend. Us all being men of the church and Christian, I can't stand sight and the sound of that Morgan Hooper. He's a heathen man. Same as all them socialists and such.
Ah, oh, no, I don't think we can say that.
Oh, you can't, maybe, but I can and will. Oh, you be too young. This here used to be a God-fearing and an holy country years ago before they took the power. So when I went into the church that morning and found the old lectern lying there in the aisle all broke, I said, that's a sign, I said. Now, maybe Vicar will realise that's again God's will for a disbelieving politician to read his word in his house at the holy time of his birth, I said. No offence, meant Vicar, but them's my feelings. And them's heartfelt.
I know they are, Hezekiah, but I think you're wrong. I don't agree with everything Hooper stands for, but no one can deny that he's sincere in what he says and in what he does.
Huh.
Well, you don't walk out on the cabinet post on a matter of principle otherwise.
All Saints Vicarage. Good morning, Major Dayton. Yes, he's here. Hold on. It's the Major.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Edward. Oh, not too bad. What, this afternoon? Yes, that would be most kind. Well, I'll see you about 3 o'clock then. Goodbye.
Well, how are the mighty fallen, eh?
Huh?
No offense, as our good Hezekiah would say. But how are you going to manage everything, though? We'll all rally round the flag, of course, but Edith's going to have her hands full with you stuck up here all the time.
Yes, that's what worries me, Edward. I don't really see how I can expect her to look after me and entertain Morgan Hooper all single-handed.
It is a bit of a tall order, and at Christmas to boot.
Exactly. So, reluctantly, of course, I think we'll have to board him out somewhere. I don't see what else I can do.
Come off it, George.
I beg your pardon?
Now, you know perfectly well I don't like the chap. Bit of a shady character, if you ask me, and I can't stick his politics. Still, it is Christmas. I'll have Burgess getting some quarters ready over in the lodge. Couldn't cope with a fellow actually up the manor house with me all the time, but he'll be within easy reach of you over there, and Burgess will look after his needs.
Edward, how very Christian.
Well, season of goodwill. Just don't expect me to start singing the red flag, that's all.
Oh, I don't think he's all that left of centre.
Well, of course he is. Once he got his seat, with a hell of a lot of help from all of you, out of the window went all his old principles and his old friends.
Oh, no, I must disagree with you there. I can only speak as I find, of course, but
He's always remained very loyal to Edith and me.
Because he can use you, that's why. He's an opportunist and a hypocrite. And I'll give him a bed for your sake. Now, let's talk about something pleasant.
I didn't know you felt so violently about him, or I'd never even have hinted. Christopher! I didn't hear you come in.
I met Mrs. Minter down at the shop, and she said she'd left the front door on the latch, so I came straight up. Good afternoon, Major Dayton.
Afternoon, Pelham.
What's the matter, Christopher?
Well, sir, I went along to the church when I left you this morning.
Yes.
Saw Hezekiah mending the lectern. Then went round to the scout hut to see what state they'd left it in last night. And then dropped into the bell for a glass of beer, and I met Hezekiah again there.
Yes.
And we went back to the church together. Someone had obviously got in during the time we'd been away, and, well, they shoved all the altar pieces onto the floor.
What?
And then they must have got up onto the pulpit or got a ladder somewhere because they'd broken off the heads of the two cherubs on the arch above the screen.
Good God!
Oh, no. First the lectern and now this, within a couple of days of each other.
Did you tell the police?
Oh, yes. Sergeant Dickinson's at the church now.
Can I be of any assistance if I go along? Dickinson's a good enough chap and not over bright. All right for run-of-the-mill stuff, but sorting out this kind of wanton vandalism needs a bit more brain.
Yes. If you would, you go along with Christopher. And ask Sergeant Dickinson to come and see me as soon as he's through, Christopher. I'd like a word with him before I get down to the church authorities.
Very well, sir.
George? Oh, George, it's me. Oh, dear, those stairs. Christopher, I just saw Sergeant Dickinson down by the church. What has gone on? Hello, Edward. Oh, dear.
It's all right, Edith. Everything's under control.
Come over here and sit down. There's nothing to get agitated about. Christopher and Edward are going to sort it all out.
Yes, well, we'll be off. Come along, then.
That's right, Major. I'll get back as soon as I can.
Take the car downstairs. It's hardly worth taking, really.
Oh, George, dear, what is happening?
I wish I knew, Edith.
Are you going to ring the bishop?
Not until I've spoken to Dickinson. He'll be over as soon as he can.
I think I shall have to have a cup of tea. I feel so upset. Can I bring you one?
If you're making one for yourself, yes, but now, don't go rushing about. Take it easy for a bit.
Have you rung Marshall's about that Bible yet?
No, I haven't. I completely forgot. Oh. I'll get on to them now before the others get back. I think there are numbers on the wrapping paper. Yes, there we are.
Well, I'll bring up the tea as soon as it's ready.
Thank you, dear. No hurry. Now, 6 7 5 8 Hello? Yes, this is the Reverend George Minter, All Saints Morthwaite. I ordered a Bible from you, and the parcel's arrived, but it's not it. No. Oh, this is a Bible, too, but it's not the right one. Oh, I see. Well, perhaps you're Mr. How do you spell that? Oh, Smale. Yes, well, perhaps he could telephone me any time tomorrow. I shall be here. Oh, it's 425. That's right. Good day. Oh, wait a minute. By the way, would you ask him if there was a list of telephone numbers left in the book? It's probably nothing, but it might have got in there by mistake. You will? Good day. Bye.
Of course. That must be where it came from. Now, let's see. 5513. No harm in trying.
Now, Sergeant, what do you police fellows think happened?
Well, Vicar, gentlemen.
Huh?
Well, sometime between 1 o'clock when Hezekiah left the church and 2:05 when him and the Reverend Ear got back from the bell, some person or persons unknown got in and smashed the heads off them two images over the pulpit and threw the candlesticks and the crucifix there on the floor in front of the altar. Well, it must have taken a tidy sum to bring off them heads, too. Someone with a hammer, by the looks of them.
But nobody could possibly have reached them, could they, Major?
Certainly not without a ladder. And ours are all kept out of the scout hut.
And that was locked up, because I was there just before lunchtime.
Now, if it had been a middling tall man, he could just about have got at them if he stood on the edge of the pulpit. Still, plenty of time to worry how they did it when we found out who.
And why.
Don't strike me there's any motive behind this.
Hooligans, that's what it is. Some long-haired louts who've been pampered by this blasted welfare state. You see if it isn't. Should have kept on national service. Give them a taste of discipline.
I think you're wrong about there not being a motive, Edward.
Because they came back twice, do you mean?
Partly that, yes. And then,
Well, just look at what they've done. Not damage just for the sake of damage. They broke the lectern, but nothing else. Now they desecrate the altar, then climb up and behead the two seraphim. There were plenty of things on ground level they could have got at. But no. I'm sorry if it complicates things for you, Sergeant, but I think there's more to it than just wanton destruction. And I don't like it one little bit. There's something else that struck me, too.
What's that, Vicar?
Old Mrs. Ferguson. Now, when was it she saw Beelzebub, Christopher?
Not last night or the night before. The night before that.
Then it was the following morning that Hezekiah found the lectern had been damaged.
That's right.
What are you getting round to, George?
Old Mrs. Ferguson doesn't really imagine anything, you know. She just mistakes what she sees and hears. Maybe old Mrs. Ferguson's Beelzebub was the fellow who broke the lectern. And he was waiting up in the organ loft until the coast was clear. And perhaps it was him she saw the next night, the night I broke my leg.
I never knew all this had been going on. I thought she'd lost touch with the powers of evil some time ago.
She did, Major, but I'm afraid they're back again.
So maybe she saw something or someone today.
Well, I'll go along and see her the moment I leave here.
With all due respect, I think it might be better if Christopher did that. You know, she might be rather nervous of discussing her visitations with the laity.
Point taken, Vicar. Don't want to frighten the old girl to death, do we? That is, if you don't mind, Reverend.
Not at all. I'd better be off in any case if there's nothing more, sir.
No, nothing. Pop in after choir practice if you're not too tired.
I think I'll be making tracks too, George. See you tomorrow if old Mrs. F's bogeys don't get me.
Choir practice went well, did it, Christopher?
Very well indeed. More enthusiasm than harmony in the first Noel. But the children's away and Major bought a lump to the throat, as usual.
What news of old Mrs. Ferguson?
She's not venturing out much at the moment. Not with all this snow. One of the scouts, the middle Kellett, goes and does her shopping for her, but she spends most of her time just sitting at her window.
Aha.
Exactly. So, at lunchtime today, she was up there as usual and saw someone in the tower waving what she says looked like a cross.
But they wouldn't have taken the cross up to the tower, surely?
I know. But there's another thing. It was about 5 minutes after that she saw Hezekiah leave for the bell.
So he was there while this chap was up in the organ loft?
Apparently, yes. She's now convinced poor old Hezekiah is in league with the devil.
I hope she's wrong.
So do I. You don't mean it could be...
It's possible, isn't it? He said the lectern being broken was a sign to me not to let Morgan Hooper read the lessons. When I didn't take any notice, perhaps he decided I needed some further warnings.
You really think it could have been him?
I don't know what I think, Christopher. You haven't told Sergeant Dickinson all this, have you?
Just the fact that old Mrs. Ferguson saw someone. He just said he'd note it down as person or persons unknown and continue with his inquiries.
Oh, that's all right, then. Let's just hope we've seen the end of it.
Come on, you two. Stop talking shop. Arthur's popped in, as you asked. So I brought the sherry up.
Come in, Arthur. I think I ought to be off.
Well, don't leave on my account, or are you bored with Vicar nattering on about his itching? A little suffering's good for your soul, George. Now, what was it you wanted to talk to me about?
It's this piece of paper Christopher found by the bed.
Hmm?
It doesn't belong to any of us, and I think it dropped out of a parcel I got from Marshall's.
Let's have a look.
There. I thought it was telephone numbers, so today I dialed them all, but I'm sure it's not that.
Why not, dear?
Well, for two of them, there was no such number. One was a betting shop. One was a very bad-tempered man who thought I was a Jehovah Witness. One was a lady's hairdresser. And the other was old Mrs. Ferguson.
Who on earth would have a list like that?
Someone leading a very full and varied social life, I should say. Now, wait a minute. This could be a roulette system. That's what it looks like to me.
Oh, how could we find out?
Ride for the poor box, dash up to Crockford's and try it. Feel like a night on the town, Edith?
Yes, Arthur, I think that would be lovely. Now, who's for sherry?
That was the most enjoyable evening I think I've ever spent. Listening to them singing their way all round the village, then ending up here, and all trailing up the stairs to wish me well. And those cakes were delicious, and the mulled wine. Thank you, Edith.
You deserved it, dear. I think I'd better shut this window before we both catch our death of cold.
Where are they now?
just by old Mrs. Ferguson. She's waving out of the window. I think one of the scouts is going in.
Oh, that'll be the little Kelly. Mrs. Harvey seems to have adopted her.
Now they've got to the church gate. There.
And now it's just the peal of bells from Hezekiah and young Dickinson, and it's all over.
Until next year.
Until next year. Where's Morgan Hooper?
Oh, he went off with them all for the last of the caroling. I lent him your galoshes. Those shoes he was wearing would have been useless. And Burgess had taken his case straight up to the manor house.
Wasn't it kind of that young man from Marshall's to say he'd bring my Bible over tomorrow?
Well, I was very cross with you for accepting.
Why?
Well, I'm sure he only phoned to say that it was there and then offered to drop it over out of politeness.
Oh, no, dear. He's coming over to the carol service in any case. So he can have a cup of coffee here with us and then escort you over to the church. That'll start a few tongues wagging.
Don't be so silly, George.
But the carol's finished ages ago. What's happened to the bell?
I don't know.
Vicar! Mrs. Minter, all right if I come up?
Yes, Christopher, what's going on? Never mind now.
It was when we got to the church gate.
Now, hold your horses, Christopher. Take a breath or two.
Look down,
it's all right. I'm okay now. We got to the church gate when one of the choir boys saw something on the porch steps.
Yes?
Being Christmas, I thought it might be someone who'd taken a shortcut back from the bell. Felt a bit under the weather and passed out. So I went on ahead and there was this...
What, Christopher?
It was a young calf. Its throat had been cut.
What?
And there was blood everywhere.
Oh,
and its
no.
head was... I'm terribly sorry. I feel a bit queasy. Do you mind if I...
No, off you go, Christopher.
Sorry, no. Reverend. Oh, dear old me. Poor lad looks a mite shaken. And I'm not surprised. He was the first to see the poor beast close to. Has he told you, Vicar?
Just that he saw it, Sergeant, and that his throat had been cut.
Ah, it couldn't have happened long before. A young heifer it was. And one or two of us went to see if we could shift her, and she was still warm. And there was blood all over the doorpost, as if it had been smeared on there. And it was still wet.
Oh, how awful.
Well... It was then we saw the creature's skull had been stove in, just there, between the eyes. Well, someone gave Hezekiah a call, and he come down from the bell tower too, to Digby. And he's organizing a tarpaulin to put the beast in so as we can move her.
Oh, excuse me. Hello? Yes, Edward. Yes, indeed it is. It's shocking. Yes. He's here with me now. It's Major Dayton. He'd like a word with you, Sergeant.
Ah, right you are. Thank you.
Hello, Major?
Yeah. The moment I finished here, sir, yes.
I see. Well, have you any idea what's been taken?
Nothing else. No actual firearms.
Ah. Well, I'll be as quick as I can, sir. Good night.
He said he'd phone again later, Vicar. Apparently, there's been a robbery at the manor house.
A robbery? Oh, poor man.
Sorry I dashed off like that.
I was just telling Vicar and Mrs. Minter there's been a robbery up at the manor house.
A robbery?
Yeah. Must have taken place while we were all a-caroling. Then, when the Major got back after all that unpleasantness down to the church, he went into his study and discovered the loss.
Well, what's been taken?
Well, as far as he can tell, just that old crossbow contraption he had, hanging up over his desk, you know. Well, nothing else at all.
Oh, Vicar, you there upstairs?
Yeah, come up, Hezekiah.
What's the latest? Have you managed to shift the poor thing?
All in good time, Reverend. Evening, Vicar.
Evening.
Mrs. Mendler.
Good evening, Hezekiah.
Sergeant.
This is a terrible thing to have happened, Hezekiah.
That is, Vicar. As three times a blasphemy has been committed in our church. I hope and pray we may never see the fourth.
I think I ought to go back to the church and see what I can do.
Oh, thank you, Christopher. Bless you.
Thank you, sir. Night, Mr. Minter.
Good night.
I'll see you there in a moment.
Vicar.
Yes? Yes, Hezekiah.
That there heifer never died having its gizzard cut.
How do you mean?
There's a great steel dart, size of my thumb, being driven in between that creature's eyes.
Oh.
And that's pierced its skull like it were an eggshell.
Oh.
Sorry, sir. But I saw young Kennett outside. He's looking for you, Sergeant. He's just left old Mrs. Ferguson. And she said she saw something over at the church tonight.
What sort of something, Reverend?
I don't know.
but she wants to see the sergeant.
Ah, well, I'd go right over. You coming, Hezekiah?
Yes, that I am.
Right. Good night, Vicar.
Good night, Harold.
Good night.
You want anything, dear?
My health and strength, Edith. Nothing else. I feel so healthy.
Nonsense. You'd only rush around and get in everyone's way. Much better you should stay here and quietly work it all out, and then tell them what to do. I'll be downstairs if you want me.
You know, Christopher, I often wonder why I got married when I did. No money, no prospects, head full of firecrackers. Then Edith says something like that, and I know. But I still feel I ought to be out there doing something. Here I am, tied hand and foot, well, foot at least. I shall just have to rely on you, Christopher, my good and faithful servant.
Matthew 25, verse... Wait a minute, I know this one. 21, there.
Well done.
I'd better go.
Christopher.
Yes?
Do you know the books of the Bible by heart? The names, I mean, the order they come in?
No, sir, I don't believe I do.
Whenever I feel I want to pray, but my mind keeps going off into other things, you know, worrying things, I go through them. 1 Genesis, 2 Exodus, 3 Leviticus, 4 Numbers. I find it a great comfort. It's like counting sheep, I suppose. Usually I find it easy to pray. But the past day or two, it's been as if something was trying to stop me. And now this has happened. And try as I may, I can't understand it. Perhaps I don't really want to. Well, off you go, Christopher.
Good night, sir.
Oh, pull yourself together, Minter. You can't start giving way at the knees at your age. Now then, concentrate. 1 Genesis, 2 Exodus, 3 Leviticus, 4 Numbers, 5 Deuteronomy. My word, I believe that's it. Telephone numbers, bingo, roulette, and all the time, of course. Now, where did I put it? I never can find anything in this bed. Help me sit up, will you, Christopher? Now, look at those numbers again on that paper. Read them out.
40, 25, 21, 5,
no,
5.
No, just 3 by 3.
40, 25, 21.
How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
And 40 is 39 plus 1. So that's the first book of the New Testament, which is?
Matthew.
So, 25 is the chapter and 21 is the verse. Now, do you remember what I called you last night, just before you went back to the church when I was bemoaning being bedridden?
Yes, sir, I was very flattered. A good and faithful... But of course, that's it, isn't it? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Matthew 25.
Verse 21, yes. Then I went through the rest of them. And I'm frightened.
But why?
Read them out. Groups of three from the beginning. I've written them all down here.
There's the Matthew first.
His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Go on.
5.
Deuteronomy.
5.
Chapter 5.
13.
Verse 13. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And?
19.
Psalms.
Chapter 31, verse 18.
Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Seems to be instructions of some sort. First is a promise, I will make thee ruler over many things. Then the time this person, whoever he is, has to carry out whatever this task may be. 6 days. Then this about putting someone to silence.
What do you think that means?
Well, go on with the next two and then you'll see.
14.
Second book of Chronicles.
34:4.
And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down.
You mean this is about the cherubs being broken and the cross and things being thrown off the altar?
Yes, I do. And as for the other one, if I'd taken the hint when the lectern got smashed, then I'd have changed my mind about Morgan Hooper reading the lesson, and in that way, he'd have been put to silence. Now, I know that may sound a bit far-fetched, but the next three figures...
4, 19, 2.
That's the book of Numbers.
And it was when I looked this one up that it all fell into place. Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer.
The animal outside the church?
Yes. Now, where are we? Ah. And one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times.
But why all this?
I don't know.
And why should anyone send the list to you?
But it wasn't meant for me. That Bible that came in got here by mistake. It was meant for someone else. But who? I phoned the bookshop at Christmas. They're all so busy. I couldn't get any sense out of them. I've got to find out, Christopher, because somebody's life is being threatened. Now, what's the next one?
26.
Ezekiel.
18:30.
That's it. He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Go on.
The last one. 4. That's numbers again. Chapter 24, verse 8.
He shall eat up the nations his enemies and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. But nothing to tell us who's to be done to death.
Can you open the door, Christopher? I've got my hands full.
Yes, of course. There you are, Mrs. Minter.
Thank you. I put on an extra cup for you in case you wanted a coffee.
Thank you.
Arthur called a few minutes ago with some rather sad news.
Oh, what?
Old Mrs. Ferguson.
Oh.
The middle Kellett went along as usual this morning to see if she wanted anything. And there she was, sitting in her chair by the window, dead, poor thing. Dear little Kellett was terribly upset. He couldn't stop crying. She must have died late last night, Arthur says.
Oh, I am sorry.
So am I. May she rest in peace.
Amen.
Heart failure, of course, as we expected.
And what's worrying you, Arthur?
Well, there's something peculiar about the way she was sitting there.
Huh?
Her eyes were open, nothing unusual in that, but she looked scared. I thought, well, perhaps she thought she saw the devil outside the window. But she wasn't facing that way. There's a looking glass on the wall, you know, just by that photo of her daughter.
Yes, I know.
Well, in that glass, she could have seen the door from the landing. It was wide open. Had been when young Kelly found her, so he says. And it's odd, because she was always terrified of drafts. So I went and had another look outside. And there was blood on the door handle.
Blood?
Yes, so how did it get there? I reckon she saw the reflection of someone standing there in the door, and the shock of it killed her. But that doesn't explain the blood. I left a message with Sergeant Dickinson. I don't know what's going on in this village, George, but I get the feeling it's really more in your line than the sergeant's.
I'm certain it is. Arthur, I found out what those numbers on that piece of paper are all about.
Hmm?
They're quotations from the Bible. There you are. I've copied them out. Now, that one there refers to the lectern.
Yeah.
That was the heads being broken off the cherubs. That
and
was...
that beast that got its throat cut.
Yeah. And that one refers to another death. I thought for a moment it might be... Well, I thought it might refer to old Mrs. Ferguson, but hath done all these abominations. Now, that could hardly refer to her.
So, someone else is going to die?
Come in.
Afternoon, George. Arthur.
Hello.
Just come in to make my final report before we go over the top.
I'll see you later then, George.
Oh, before you go, Arthur... I've done my final check on the lights and so on. All in order. But don't let anyone go monkeying about with a lectern, will you? I've rigged up a switch on it, so Horrible Hooper can turn on the lights in the crib at the appropriate moment. Saves Hezekiah having to do it all from the vestry. And I'm sure Hooper will enjoy being in control of everything.
Well, there, finger on it, Major. I'll give the sergeant your message, George. Bye.
Bye, Arthur. Thank you. Tell me something, Edward.
Yeah?
Why did you offer to put Morgan Hooper up?
Oh, I was...
And don't tell me it was to take the burden off Edith's shoulders.
Well, I wanted to satisfy myself about him. Find out what went on under that smarmy exterior of his. Always been suspicious of fellows like him. who are ready to risk the ruin of this country to satisfy the trades union bully boys and their communist bosses. Now I've met him and watched him like a hawk. And he's all I thought he was.
Edward.
I know he's a friend of yours, and I'm sorry. But I fought for this country. I was willing to die for it, and I still am. And I refuse to stand by and see us become the paupers of Europe, run over with immigrants that no self-respecting country would give house room to. Look at them, throwing away an empire with one hand and doling out what little is left to a bunch of common little left-wing opportunists with the other. Some people may be weak-kneed enough to let scum like that ride roughshod over them, but not me, nor a hell of a lot of others like me. Sorry to go on like this, it has to be said.
It would be useless for me to try and persuade you you were wrong, wouldn't it, Edward?
Afraid so.
But you don't mind if I continue to try, do you? You see, the thing that worries me is that none of this seems to make you happy. And I think that our beliefs, our convictions, should make us unbelievably happy. I've never believed that salvation lay at the end of a veil of tears, or that every hour of happiness we enjoy has to be paid for by an hour of misery. I don't think God gave us life as a punishment. I don't think he put us on earth to find out who was the best either. I think we're here as builders and decorators. Leave the place a bit better than we found it, and enjoy doing it. You'll have to forgive me, but I'm too old not to speak as I feel.
You're a good man, George. But I fear you've got your head in the clouds.
Well, that's better than having it stuck in the sand. Why can't you see the world as it really is, Edward? And not as you vaguely remember it 40 years ago. You know, you've spent so much time looking back over your shoulder and regretting the past that you've forgotten the present. You've missed all the fun.
It's no use talking to you, George. You just don't understand.
It really was most kind of you to bring the Bible along for me, Mr. Smale. And on Christmas Eve, too. And all this snow coming down. You shouldn't have bothered. Do you want another cup of tea?
No, thank you.
Or a mince pie?
No, I've eaten far too much already. I'm only sorry there's been this mix-up.
Tell me, who was the other Bible meant for?
I've no idea, I'm afraid. It's the pre-Christmas rush, everyone giving books at the last moment. So we've had a couple of temporary staff in to cope with it all. Mistakes have occurred, I'm afraid. It's no excuse, of course, but that's how it is.
Oh, quite understood. Mm. Are you sure you won't have any more tea?
Oh, no, I really must be off, sir.
But if you're staying for the service, you can't go wandering about in the snow until 6:30. You're very welcome to stay here.
Well, that's very kind of you, but I should like to take a look round your church first, if you don't mind.
Then I'd better give you this other Bible, otherwise it'll be forgotten. There we are.
Right.
Exchange is no robbery.
Thank you.
And did your colleague tell you I'd found this paper in the parcel?
The phone numbers. Yes, indeed. Well, it's of no further use now. I really must be off if I'm going to have a good look round before the service.
If you insist.
Oh, all completed satisfactorily.
Yes, indeed. Goodbye, Mrs. Minter, and thank you so much for the tea.
Don't mention it.
I can see myself out.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Mr. Spale.
Goodbye, sir.
What a very nice young man. But surely, isn't he going... What is it?
I'm trying to think.
Good grief, yes, of course.
George, get back into bed this instant. You know what Arthur said.
Oh, bother what Arthur said. Where's the telephone? Look out of the window and see where he goes, but don't let him see you.
But, George...
Do as I say. Oh, come along, come along.
Yes?
Hello, Arthur.
Oh, George, you just called me.
There's a young man named Smale came round here to deliver a book.
This is going to be one of your longer stories, George, because I'm on my way over to the church.
Listen, Arthur, and don't interrupt.
I'm sorry.
He brought the Bible Marshall should have sent and took the other one. I asked him about the list, and first he said they were telephone numbers, which, of course, they aren't. Then he seemed to recognize them, which he couldn't have done. Then he screwed them up, and despite the fact my waste paper basket was by his feet, he put the screwed-up paper in his pocket. Then he made off like the wind. If it is him, he's here for a purpose. The lectern was broken on Monday night, and today's Saturday.
6 days shall there labor, you mean?
Yes, and somebody's still got to die.
All right, George, I'm on my way. I better pick up Sergeant Dickinson.
And I'll ring Edward and explain everything. Then he can get along there as well.
Dashed clever of you, worked out that code, George. Anyone would have to get up pretty early to put one over on you. May not always see eye to eye, but I mean that. Now, you reckon Hooper could be their target, whoever they are?
I'm practically certain. So I want you to make sure he stays at the manor house with you. Then he can be protected.
No, George, bad tactic.
Huh?
The last thing we want is to arouse any suspicion in this fellow's mind. Otherwise, he'd just disappear into thin air and live to kill another day.
Oh,
red-handed is how we want him. Church will be full tonight, and he'll be somewhere in that congregation, mark my words.
Yes, but he may be hiding somewhere in the church now.
Shall we make a thorough search? Luckily, I know the organ loft and tower are clean. I finished the lighting arrangements and locked both the doors. Didn't want any of the choir boys monkeying about up there. Still, I'll check it again when I get there. That means there's just the church proper. Why, child's play.
I wondered whether this might all have something to do with that crossbow of yours that was stolen.
If he tries to get into the church with that, he'll have his work cut out. It's big as a house. No, George, that's hardly a weapon, really. More of a curiosity. And it'd need a couple of fellas with time to spare to wind it up and load it. No, rest assured, there'll be no breaking of bones and piercing through with arrows, whatever that quotation of yours says. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Edward. But I never told Edward that last quotation, so how did he know? Oh, blast this lake. Edith! Where else that Catholic? Edith! Oh, she's gone to the church. Oh, dear. Now, pull yourself together, mister. Pull yourself together. Ah, there we are. Catherine.
Lane, did you get up here?
Like Lazarus, I took up my bed and I walked. I may not have the faith that moves mountains, but at least I have enough to carry a few pounds of plaster.
How did you know I'd be here?
Because the Major said nobody could be.
What makes you think Major Dayton has anything to do with this?
He knows too much.
What do you expect?
No. You've had your three questions. Now it's my turn. I shall have to sit down. But don't try to get out of here. I may not be able to run, but I warn you, I can shut like the very devil.
Oh, neither of us is leaving, Vicar. Not until the service is over. So, there's plenty of time for you to ask your questions.
And for you to answer them.
Yeah, perhaps.
You know, I've never heard the music from up here in the organ loft. I thought it would be much louder. Well. My first question.
Yes.
Why?
Well, you see, our political party is very new, very young, very small. So, it's necessary for us to make an impact, create a sensation if we are to compete with the publicity machines the two big parties can afford to hire. We picked the one man who embodied everything we most bitterly oppose. So that when he dies tonight and the news breaks, everyone will know why he died. And that we ordered his execution.
But why in this village? In this church?
Oh, well, if he died in a hotel room or at a private house or even in the street, it could be hushed up or treated as an accident. But not here. Not in a house of God. Not in the middle of reading the Christmas lessons. And certainly not after the other three biblical prophecies have been fulfilled. It'll make every newspaper in the country.
How will they know?
Ah, well, the Major, on your behalf, contacted all the Fleet Street offices and told them of Morgan Hooper's incognito appearance. About 7 o'clock, when Hooper switches on the lights in the crib, he will die. And at 7:30 precisely, another member of our party will phone the Press Association in London with the full story and the sad announcement of Hooper's death and why he died. Then, perhaps, we shall be taken seriously.
I suppose you intend to shoot Morgan Hooper. Who's to do it? You? The Major? Some other?
Nobody.
Nobody?
No. He will pull the trigger himself. Not that he'll ever know, of course. The Major and I rigged up that crossbow of his above the organ pipes. A little over-elaborate, perhaps, but reporters love anything bizarre.
The Major rather reluctantly filed down one of the catches on the thing. It's just held in place with a piece of fuse wire that's wired up to the lights in the crib. So when the switch is thrown, the fuse will blow, and he shall break their bones and pierce them through with their arrows. Ezekiel 18, verse 13, if I remember correctly. I don't know exactly how the crossbow trick works, but work it does. We tried it out. Just with a piece of wood and a missile, and that put pay to the lectern. Then I had a couple of goes with ball bearings and your cherubs. It is amazingly accurate. Now it's got its steel arrow fitted. And you remember the mess that made of a calf's skull. The Major's remarkably bright for a soldier. That's why I picked him.
But I thought that all this was his idea.
Oh, good God, no. He hasn't had an original thought since Mafeking. No, he came into the bookshop one day asking for a stack of military biographies. I helped him find them. Discovered he wasn't too devoted to our socialist brothers either. And that's when he started coming to our meetings. That was some... Oh, 3 or 4 years ago now. I don't think the old fool knew what he got himself into, but I found him useful.
I'm sure he'd be flattered.
Oh, no, not flattered. Grateful. That's why I sent him the good and faithful servant message and the 6 days shalt thou labour. He had to feel part of it all. And having been a soldier all his life, all he needed was a coded message and a cheap Bible, and he saw himself as Lawrence of Arabia. If only he weren't so obedient to orders, he'd have dashed up here to see what was going on. Instead of which, he'll be sitting down there in the congregation, as instructed. A military mind. Doesn't it make you despair?
But is it...
I think you've had your question.
Just one more. Why did old Mrs. Ferguson have to die?
Because she was like you, Vicky. Inquisitive. After the Major and I left that heifer outside the church, I had to go round by her place to avoid the carolers. I thought she might have seen me, been able to recognize me again. The front door was open, so I went up. She was sitting in her armchair, and she saw me in the mirror. I'd no need to do anything. She just kept on staring. Then I realized she'd died. Fright, I suppose. I must have looked rather odd, spattered with that animal's blood. Now, what am I to do about you, Vicar?
That doesn't worry me. What does worry me is that you're going to kill the wrong man.
Oh, no, no. It's no use defending Hooper to me, Vicar. It's all decided.
I don't mean that. Hooper isn't reading the lessons. I told my wife to warn him something was going on, so now he's sitting with her at the back of the church, and my curate is reading. You're not going to further your cause much if you tell the papers you killed a prominent MP when all you've actually done is to slaughter an innocent young curate. If you don't believe me, go down the first few stairs there, and you can look through the little window above the organ, and you'll see my curate reading.
I hope you're telling the truth, Vicar.
You lied to me, didn't you? That is Hooper reading the lesson. I can see him. Now, don't you try to warn him. I've got a gun. I'll just shoot him from here.
Dear Lord.
Not quite as spectacular, but he'll be just as dead. I'll count 10, Vicar. But long before that, I want this door open. Understood? One.
Oh, Lord, what can I do?
Two.
What can I... Tonight? The fuse box, it... Well, concentrate. Genesis, Exodus,
five.
Leviticus, Numbers... Numbers.
Six.
Behind the box were the numbers for the hymn board.
Seven.
That's it. And darkness eight. Shall cover me.
Look at this, Kyle.
The lights is fused, Doctor. I'll go round the old lab and see what's amiss. Oh, nothing's gone correct these days. I see the hand of the Lord in this ever since that Hooper come in
there. Let me take a step round there, man.
Right you are, Doctor, but do you mark my words?
Vicar, you can hear me.
You put those lights back on. Come on, Vicar, come on.
All the way there up there!
All right, don't move.
What?
Now, turn around.
Hey, wait a minute.
Walk slowly out in front of the church. Come on.
Sequoia. Who's that?
Don't come any nearer, Sergeant.
Now look.
Or you, Doctor. Sergeant, get away from your car, but leave the keys. Hurry up. Or hit the car, or lose the back of his head. Now, when I tell you, Hezekiah, you go over there by the doctor. Off you go. Over there by the doctor.
Bail!
What do you want, Major?
Give yourself up, for God's sake.
You can't get away with it.
I'll stand by you.
Don't get in my way, Major.
I know I've been a fool's male. Don't you be one, too. I'll tell them what...
Oh, no, you won't, Major. Oh, no, you won't. Everyone, look out!
Don't move him, Sergeant. Here, help me put this coat under his head.
He just ran him down. You'll be all right here.
Yes, off you go.
Come on, Hezekiah. Take me up to the organ loft. I want to see which way you went.
Right, you are, Sergeant. Turn that torch up here, will you, Sergeant? Is he a door? Seems to be locked.
See, it's all right, Hezekiah. I'm here.
Oh, that's the wicker.
Oh, thank goodness you're here.
Bless my soul, Vicar. You're not supposed to be over here.
Oh, yes, I am. This is where I belong.
But what do you do which way that fella's gone?
Well, do you stand on here? Then you'll be able to see across the churchyard and up to the top meadow.
Yeah, right.
Any sign of him?
No, not yet. Yes, there he is, driving up towards the manor house.
I'll catch him if he go up there. That's a dead end, that is.
Nope, he's turning off into top meadow. He's going to go and try across the field onto the upper road. Here, I'd better go. Hold on. He's turning. No, he's not. Here, he's skidded.
What?
It's that slide the kids made there. My God, he's coming straight down the hill.
Oh, no.
He can't stop.
Oh.
He's going to hit the churchyard wall. Oh.
No, Vicar. You and Mrs. Minter, rest yourselves well.
Thank you, Hezekiah.
Arthur won't be more than a moment bringing the car round. Then it's home, James, and don't spare the horses. And back to bed you go.
Don't fuss, Edith. I feel perfectly all right.
You could have gone home hours ago, Vicar. No call for you to have stuck around here.
Oh, yes, there was, Harold. As caretaker of this house of God, I've got the place on trust. Fine thing if I'd dashed off and left everyone else to clear up the mess.
Right, the car's outside if you're ready, George.
Thank you, Arthur. How's the Major?
I should be all right. Be a long job, though.
I can't understand why he went dashing out there. Surely he didn't think he could have stopped him.
I don't know what he thought.
I don't know. Well, I'll say good night then, Vicar.
Good night, Harold, and thank you.
Good night.
Good night, Harold. Good night. Time he got back, George.
So that poor boy was killed.
I don't know about poor boy, but killed, yes. Didn't have a chance once he hit that kid's slide. But then you know all about that, don't you, George?
What do you mean?
At your age, too. Something else, too. I didn't say anything in front of the rest of them, but in the ambulance, Edward kept repeating those quotations from the Bible. Bit rum, wasn't it? I didn't think he knew about them.
Well, I told him on the telephone.
I see. Tell him where his precious crossbow ended up?
I think so. If he said anything about it, I must have done.
But, George, you didn't know that until after you...
Doctor's surgery and priest's confessional. They still can't question us about what we discovered there. Can they, Arthur?
The hospital's going to phone me as soon as he regains consciousness. I'll tell him what you said. Be a comfort to him.
Thank you. God bless my soul. Is that the time? It's Christmas Day.
Start of the seventh day, George. Time you had a rest. Look after him, Edith. There aren't many of them left.
I will.
In And on the Seventh Day by Aubrey Woods, Carlton Hobbs played the Reverend George Minter, Betty Hardy, Edith Minter, Christopher Good, Christopher Pelham, Peter Pratt, Dr. Arthur Barry, William Fox, Major Edward Dayton, Peter Tottenham, Hezekiah Minship, Stephen Thorne, Sergeant Dickinson, and John Rye, Maurice Smale. The play was produced by Glyn Dearman.